can do some work, is there, is it here?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله الذي ليس لأولية الابتداع ولا لأزلية الانقضاء، وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته، وردعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعدها أمير المؤمنين، وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد،
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى، وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لساخت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال أمير المؤمنين عليه الصلاة والسلام: لا يقبل الله عملا إلا بمعرفة. First of all, I would like to thank our distinguished scholars in this gathering, and I would like to thank all of you for allowing me with this opportunity to be in your presence and be at your service and speak a few words tonight on the subject. I'm not going to take long. I'll try to wrap it up maybe in half an hour, inshallah. Ma'rifat and in-depth recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something which is highly stressed in the teachings of Islam and the leaders of Islam. And thank you. And we find that all the a'mal and actions that we perform in our life, and the value of those a'mal, depends on the ma'rifat level that a human enjoys towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and towards the Imam of his time, Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salatu wassalam wa ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu al-sharif.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
And the ma'rifat of the Imam of the time is considered to be equal in its value to the ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. Because when someone asked Imam Husayn ibn Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, سُئِلَ مَا مَعْرِفَةُ اللَّهِ, he was asked, what is the ma'rifat of Allah? What's the meaning of in-depth, having in-depth recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Imam replied that ma'rifatu ahli kulli zamanin imamahum alladhi yajibu alayhim ta'atuhu. That means people of every time having the in-depth recognition and ma'rifat of the imam of their time, whose obedience is wajib on their neck. So the question was posed about the ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the answer which arrived from Imam Husayn alayhi salam is not directly about the ma'rifat of Allah, but he talks about the ma'rifat of the Imam of his time, which makes this point very clear that actually, as a matter of fact, ma'rifat of the Imam of your time is equal to the ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those of the mu'mineen who do not have this blessing of Allah, that is the ma'rifat of the Imam of their time, they are the ones who do not have the ma'rifat of Allah either. So, ma'rifat is something that gives value to the most seemingly simple action that you may perform in your life. You may perform 2 rak'ats of prayers. You may do a simple recitation of the Holy Quran. You may give few bucks in a charity to a needy person. You may construct any Islamic institution or madrasa or masjid or markaz or community center or whatever, any kind of charitable work that you may do in your life, you name it, anything and everything that you may do in your life. If you would like to determine the price tag of that activity in the eyes of Allah, look at the level of the ma'rifat of Allah that you enjoy, which is found in your soul. That determines the value of your simple action, which is seemingly simple, but it is very, very valuable in the eyes of Allah if you have the high level of ma'rifat. Ma'rifat is something which is a result of two things. Look at the Hadith al-Qudsi, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks with His beloved Messenger, Man abadani faqad arifani. Whosoever performs my ibadat and worship, faqad arifani. He had my ma'rifat. So anyone who has the ibadat of Allah, he will end up having Allah's ma'rifat as the end result. وَمَنْ عَرِفَنِي فَقَدْ أَحَبَّنِي. And whosoever has my ma'rifat will end up having my love. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّنِي فَقَدْ أَشَقَنِي. And whosoever has my love will end up in having a deep love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ أَشَقَنِي فَقَدْ أَشَقْتُهُ. And whomsoever has a deep love affair with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah says that فَقَدْ أَشَقْتُهُ, I will have a deep love towards him also. وَمَنْ أَشَقْتُهُ. What's gonna happen when Allah has a deep love towards some person? فَقَدْ قَتَلْتُهُ. When Allah loves somebody, the end result is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give that person the tawfiq and opportunity from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to get killed on the path of Allah, which is the real life and the biggest honor a human being can enjoy. Allah gives him the tawfiq to become shaheed. فَقَدْ قَتَلْتُهُ. I killed the person whom I love deeply. So, when you kill the person, then Islam says you have to pay the blood money. Isn't that right? You have to pay the diyatul qatl. That's the law of the Sharia. So look at what Allah says, وَمَنْ أَشَقْتُهُ فَقَدْ قَتَلْتُهُ. Whomsoever I have the deep love towards, I kill him. وَمَنْ قَتَلْتُهُ فَعَلَيَّ دِيَتُهُ. And whomsoever I kill, his blood money falls on me. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to His Messenger that وَأَنَا دِيَتُهُ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself is the reward and the blood money. Allah Himself is presenting Himself as the reward of that person who basically has the deep love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that's the ultimate result, what is going to happen. But where does it start? It all starts from ibadat. Man abadani faqad arifani. Ibadat means you learn your duty towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. your fara'id and duties towards Allah, and after having the ilm, you have amal, you practice what you have learned as your divine duty towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ilm plus amal, these two fundamental factors generate the tawfiq to receive the nur and divine light of the ma'rifat of Allah being provided into your soul by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I remember in one of the teachings and lessons that my teacher Ayatullah Jawadi Amuli Hafidhahullah was saying that Mahabbat Mahsule Ma'rifatast wa Ma'rifat Mahsule Ita'atast. So basically Mahabbat is the aftermath of Ma'rifat. Ma'rifat is bound, the in-depth recognition of Allah is bound to take us into the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyone who has ma'rifat, he will certainly end up having love towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the love is the end result of ma'rifat, and ma'rifat itself is the end result of ita'at and obedience of Allah. So let's remember the sequence. When we talk about the love of Imam Ali alayhi salam, which is a symbol and icon of the Shia Isna Ashari faith, and we are proud over the love of Imam Ali alayhi salam, when we talk about the muhabbat and love of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wa salam, which we are proud over the love of Ahlul Bayt, when we are talking about the love of the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we must understand that this love will not be categorized as love unless we have a pre-existing obedience towards the teachings of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. Otherwise, according to how my teacher puts it, we better, those people who claim to be loving the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, but their actions are not certifying what they are claiming, because they are not obedient, they don't have the ita'at towards the teachings of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, they should better say, we have tamanni. You know, in Farsi, like they say, you know, ma arzu dari. You know, we have a wish. We wish that, you know, it should better be called as a wish instead of claiming that we love Ahlul Bayt. Because if the love was real, it doesn't combine with disobedience. This makes it very clear that our behavior towards the teachings of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam is the best sign for us to remember what is the level of our ma'rifat. And once we have the ma'rifat of Allah, our behaviors will also change in the future. It will be ma'rifat-based behaviors, ma'rifat-based worships, ma'rifat-based actions, ma'rifat-based policies, ma'rifat-based opinions and concepts. It's a whole world of difference. Whole world of difference. You know, we find that in the eyes of the people, a loser, a maghboon, a loser person is somebody who loses in his business. He couldn't make money. They say he's not a successful person. You couldn't make that sort of money in your life. So the more you make, the more successful you are. You know? So basically the people of this dunya say that your success in this world depends on how much money you could make. Whereas in the eyes of Islam, which is the vision of ma'rifat of Islam, we believe that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam has said that al-maghbunu man ghubina qiyam al-layl. Look at the difference of vision, the difference of the world view, the difference of the whole concepts, looking at the same phenomena in a totally different way. Prophet says the loser is a person who who lost the tawfiq to perform Salatul Layl, Namaz-e-Shab, night prayers. He is the biggest loser because he doesn't have the tawfiq of Salatul Layl. Yeah, if you allow me, I'll take the questions after the speech, inshallah. And we find that somebody came and asked Imam Sadiq al-Islam that you have been condemning faqr and poverty. What are you actually condemning? A person being poor? He said, actually, he said, la, walakin min ad-deen. Actually, that faqr is condemned. If a person is poor, is a person lacks his religion and tadayyun in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This kind of person and this kind of poverty, where you lose your tadayyun, you lose your religious values, in other words, this is what is the worst kind of faqr. This is what is condemned. So, it's not from the dirham and dinar, how much money we can make and how much money do we have from the temporary belongings of this dunya. Prophet was there and he found a bunch of people competing with each other and lifting up some heavy stone. Prophet asked those people, asked, and he got the reply that, well, we are just lifting the stones to just see who is more brave and more strong among ourselves. So Prophet said, do you guys want me to inform you who is braver? I said, yes, Ya Rasulullah, let us know who is brave. So Prophet said that the brave person among you is actually the person when he is happy, his happiness does not allow him to perform any sin because of his happiness. And if he is he's angry, his anger doesn't allow him to do what is not justified for him to do. And when he gains power and control, he does not take away the haq and right of any person. That is the real definition of a brave man. Prophet was passing by, and there was a mad, insane person out there. And Prophet asked some of his ashab and companions, قال رسول الله ما له, what has happened to this guy? And somebody replied back to the Holy Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, innahu majnoonun. Oh, the Messenger of Allah, this guy is insane. He's majnoon. So, everything of the Holy Prophet is full of wisdom. Look at the response of the Holy Prophet. He says that, bal huwa musabun. That means you better say that this guy is affected. That means don't say that he's majnoon. Don't say he's insane and mad. Instead, you better say that this guy is affected. He has a mental problem, so he got affected. He's not majnoon. And Prophet said, actually, that innama al-majnoon man asara dunya ala al-akhirah. Actually, the insane person is the one who gives preference to dunya, so this temporary world and its belongings, over akhirat, over the hereafter. Anyone who in his policies gives preference to the temporary belongings and benefits of this material world, gives preference to those over the benefits and rewards of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the akhirat, that guy is actually an insane and majnoon person in the dictionary of the Holy Prophet. So everything that he taught us is full of ma'rifat and wisdom. We find that Prophet was there, and a Masihi person wearing different kinds of golden jewelry showed up. And some of the newly converted Muslims who didn't have the proper Islamic concepts, they got very impressed with this Masihi guy showing up with all those golden ornaments and jewelry that he was wearing. And one of the Muslims made this remark that, مَا أَعْقَلَ هَذَا الرَّجُلُ. How intellectual this guy is. And Prophet heard that remark. Prophet said, "Ma, in al-aqil man wahad Allah." That means stop it there. Don't call him intellectual. An intellectual person, the Islamic definition of an intellectual is the person who believes in the tawheed of and the oneness concept of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What kind of intellectual is this? You don't even recognize your creator? So we find that the people of this dunya consider if you can save your life and you can escape from turmoils, even though you may end up neglecting your duty towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people think you are very smart because you managed to save your life, you managed to save your worldly interests. Whereas when it comes to the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam, we find that Imam Ali alayhi salam says that al-mawtu fi hayatikum maqhurin wal-hayatu fi mawtikum qahirin. Your death lies in your life if you become maqhur, if you are overwhelmed by the policies of the tawaghit and taghuts and zalimeen, and you are not ready to live up to the value system of Quran and Ahlul Bayt, then basically this lifestyle is actually the death of this person, because this guy is spiritually dead. Whereas if a person may die in this dunya, but he has protected his Islamic and Quranic value system and principles and teachings, although he may end up dying, in the dictionary of the Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, this kind of person is qahir and ghalib, and he is the one who overwhelmed. This is the person who is victorious. So we have a different definition. I remember Imam Khomeini radhiyallahu anhu, he used to say that shikast dar Islam rah na darat. There's no room in Islam for anyone to come up and say or believe that, well, we lost. What do you mean by we lost? There's no concept of losing in the entire religion of Islam. As long as you perform your taklif al-shar'i, your duty towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what do you mean by loss? You are doing your duty towards Allah, you are successful. You don't care about the result anyway. And even if you do, then you are wasting your time, because a human being is a human being. You don't have any control over the results anyway. The result is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether you die or you live, whether you get victorious physically, you gain control physically or you don't, this is something which is entirely in the control and hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, depending on His qada and qadr and His divine fixed decisions. We are not supposed to focus on that. Let not allow ourselves to get involved in the domain of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we are not going to be asked on the day of judgment, did you achieve the result? No. Never shall we be asked by Allah on the day of judgment, you know, did you achieve the result? Because some people say, well, what's going to happen if 100 people show up for the Tadahuratul Quds? For the rally of the Day of Quds, we're not going to liberate the Bayt al-Muqaddas. 100 people rallying there in the downtown or wherever. Well, we know already 100 people are not going to liberate it. And that's not even your job. Because taklifu ma la yutaq laysa fil Islam. In Islam, we don't have any duty which is beyond your control. Allah didn't even oblige to do anything which was not in your control. Allah is not going to ask you on the Day of Judgment about something which was beyond your reach. But He's certainly going to ask you about what was in your reach. Did you do your side of the job? As long as you do your side of the job, as long as you protested over the injustice and oppression, then you are successful in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Hussain alayhi salam was successful on Karbala, because he did his taklif shar'i, he did his fariha in duty towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether or not Yazid remained in power for the next 2 years. It's irrelevant. That's in the hands of Allah. What shall be the result? Whether his whole family became a captive, still Imam Hussein is successful. Isn't that right? Isn't that what we believe in? Why is Imam Hussein successful? If you look it into the worldly, materialistic point of view, there may be people who would end up saying, well, Imam Hussein lost in the battle. He got killed, his family members became, you know, prisoners of war, and Yazid still remained in power for the next 2 years, approximately. The reason why he's successful, because Imam Hussein did his taklif al-shar'i, his duty towards Allah, his job. He did his side of the job, whatever was in his reach, he did the best of it. That's why he's successful. So we are not supposed to focus on something which is not in our reach. So basically we need to readjust. Readjust our concepts, our opinions, our perspectives, our visions, our ideals about Islam and Islamic values. You know, there are so many people who, when the day of Eid comes, they celebrate in their own cultural ways. Islam, again, for everything, Islam has its own concept. The concept of Eid in Islam is entirely depending on the taharat of your qalb. You know, this entirely depends on the taharat of your qalb. إِنَّمَا هُوَ عِيدٌ لِمَنْ قَبِلَ اللَّهُ صِيَامَهُ وَشَكَرَ قِيَامَهُ. Like Amir Mumin Islam said, وَكُلُّ يَوْمٍ لَا يُعْصَ اللَّهُ فِي فَهُوَ يَوْمُ Eid. Actually, it's an Eid for someone whose Qiyam, his prayers are accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is grateful towards his prayers. وَشَكَرَ قِيَامَهُ. You know, and Allah accepted his fastings. And every day where you avoid the sins is the day of your Eid. Eid is actually derived from the Arabic word of Aud. Al-Aud means returning back. So what does it mean? That means we are expecting, we are praying, we are behaving, we are doing things which entitle us to expect that the tajalliyat al-ilahiyya, you know, the tajalli and the divine flash of illumination on our qalb is going to return back to us to bring our spirituality back to the situation what Allah loves and what Allah wishes to find in our souls. Out of tajalliyat on the qalb of the human. So if we have the aud, if we have the tajalliyat and reflections of divine light flashing on our qalb to return our taharat of the qalb back to its desired status, then basically every day of our life is Eid. There's nothing specific to that day only. Lots of people escape from their duty towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of the worries they have towards their risk. What's going to happen to my job? I can end up being fired. This is another arena where Islam has said a lot. We don't have that much time to elaborate on that subject, but I will certainly mention this one short point about that. Imam Ali alayhi salam has said that man ihtamma bi rizqi ghadin, whosoever is mahmoom. Ihtamma in this hadith does not mean giving ahamiyat. In this hadith it means being mahmoom and sorrowful at heart. Man ihtamma bi rizqi ghadin, whosoever is sorrowful about the food of tomorrow, sustenance of tomorrow, lam yuflih abada, is never going to succeed. And the Holy Prophet ﷺ has said, learn one sifat from a dog. Because a dog, when he gets out of his house, he's not worried about his tomorrow's food. This is the sifat of a mu'min, which is found in a dog. There are several sifat of a mu'min found in different animals. Animals are also, our urafa say, madhar of as-sifatu tashbihiyya lillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't that right? So we need to learn. Al-hikmatu dhallatul mu'min, wisdom is the lost thing of a mu'min, aynama وَجَدَهَا أَخَذَهَا. Wherever he finds, he picks it up. He grabs it. It's his. It will belong to him. So, I'm coming to the end. Another very important aspect which requires our ma'rifat and correct vision to straighten up our visions is the matter of supporting a zalim and a tahut. Islam is very clear when it comes to our policy towards the zalim. So we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Holy Quran, لَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَاسْتَنِبُوا الطَّاهُوتِ. Certainly we have sent in every nation a messenger with two-point agendas. There are two-point agenda given to every messenger sent towards every nation throughout the history of the globe. First, أَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ. That means worship none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاهُوتِ. And keep away from tahut. So, Islam is crystal clear when it comes to our policy towards zalim and tahut. Islam is a religion which doesn't need to be shy or afraid of anything. We don't need to be, you know, reluctant about anything or hesitant about any of the teachings or values or practicing any of our values, because we already have the best of the values. Islam does not promote any kind of violence, aggression. Islam does not promote any kind of terrorism. We are the worst victims of terrorism by some of those so-called civilized nations on different sides of the Atlantic, doing their oppressions in the name of freedom of speech, women's rights, human rights, freedom, democracy. The civilized world is going to war against those who do not share our values of freedom and democracy. And we go and kill as many people as we want in Iraq. And we still think that we can run away with it, because there's a label of, quote-unquote, freedom. And there are some silly people out there who are even buying it. Who cares? Who cares? Every now and then you find bunch of people in different European countries insulting the Holy Prophet. We don't insult Prophet Jesus. We don't insult Prophet Moses. We don't insult Judaism. We don't insult Christianity. We welcome every human being with open arms. Why are they insulting us? What are they afraid of? We are the victims of the worst of terrorism done against us. Why are we supposed to be shy of anything? There are some Muslims, actually, they have lost their own identity as a Muslim. That's the biggest problem. The biggest problem that Muslim community is facing nowadays is the identity crisis. We fail to understand who we are, what it takes to be a Muslim, what's the responsibility of a Muslim, how you need to be proactive instead of reactive, how you need to be, you know, feeling proud over who you are. You didn't do anything wrong. So, Islam is a religion which condemns every kind of oppression. Islam is a religion which distances itself from every kind of zulm and zalimeen. And unless you distance yourself, you are part of it. Even if you are sakit and quiet over the zulm done in any corner of the world, and you are not ready to disassociate yourself from the wrong of the wrongdoers, you are considered to be part of that crime. Razi bi fi'li qawmin kadakir fihi ma'ahum. Somebody, Imam Ali alayhi salam, has said, anybody who is pleased with the action of a nation, kadakir fihi ma'ahum, just like the person who is part of it, he was with them. وَلِكُلِّ دَاخِلٍ فِي بَاطِلْ إِسْمَانِ. And for every person who is into a batil and falsehood, he has two sins on his neck. إِسْمُ الْعَمَلِ بِهِ وَإِسْمُ الْرِضَى بِهِ. the sin of doing the wrong and sin of being pleased with the wrong. And we are proud of these values taught by the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam to us. And there are people who are actually justifying the policies of the Tawheed. I have a hadith that I have written from Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, where he says that man azzara zaliman bi dhulmihi sallallahu alayhi man yadhlimuhu. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for providing us with these teachings, like we thank the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, man lam yashkur al makhluq lam yashkur al khaliq, like we thank the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt for informing these glorious teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us without any change, without any additive added into it, without anything reduced out of it, in its purest form. Just like Imam Khomeini, Ridwanullah, used to say, that our Islam is the pure Muhammadan Islam. Nothing added, nothing reduced. Transferred from one hand to another, from one ma'soom to another, without any change. 11 of our Imams gave blood. Not to mention the rest of the hundreds of thousands of shuhada. So, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for providing us with this opportunity and this ma'rifat, and it's our responsibility, brothers and sisters, especially to remember the dua which Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam had taught to his great companion Zurara ibn A'yan in the time of Ghaybat. And I would end my speech. It's almost about 35 minutes. I'm 5 minutes over approximately. I would end my speech on that dua of Imam alayhi salam towards Zurara, where he has said that Imam has taught this dua to Zurara, that Allahumma arrifni nafsaka فَإِنَّكَ إِنْ لَمْ تُعَرِّفْنِ نَفْسَكَ لَمْ أَعْرِفْ رَسُولَكَ اللهم لَمْ أَعْرِفْ نَبِيَّكَ اللهم عَرِّفْنِي رَسُولَكَ فَإِنَّكَ إِنْ لَمْ تُعَرِّفْنِ رَسُولَكَ لَمْ أَعْرِفْ حُجَّتَكَ اللهم عَرِّفْنِي حُجَّتَكَ فَإِنَّكَ إِنْ لَمْ تُعَرِّفْنِي حُجَّتَكَ ضَلَلْتُ عَنْ دِينِ اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين تسيم الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم حك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين. Thank you very much.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.